What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show, episode number 8. How you doing, everybody? Big Q&A today. I asked a question just before we went on, saying, you know, have your questions answered on the Facebook page. You know, ask your question, I'll answer it today on today's show. And we got loaded with a shitload of great questions. I can't get to them all. I do apologize. We'll get them in the future content, things down the road. So Brandy's going to shoot me a bunch of questions. I haven't looked at them yet. You know, I glanced over them all, and then we're just going to answer them. I'll answer them as they come through. What else? Eggs in the news. What I've been saying for a long time, you know, you're the Dolce diet advocate. If you're eating the way that we eat, you know eggs are in the program. You know that we eat eggs. We enjoy eggs. Lots of my delicious recipes contain eggs. And Harvard came out with a study saying that, you know what, eggs aren't as bad as we thought. I'll talk about that for a few minutes. And then the countries. Remember on Monday's podcast, I spoke about the countries in the world, countries like Guernsey, Mauritius, the Isle of Man. That's actually the Isle of Man is pretty cool. I mean, just a shitload of countries and provinces, lands, places around the world that are listening right now that we're interacting with. What's up, everybody? So we got a huge list. I'm going to go through some of the places. I'm going to tell you about some of the countries, some of our fellow fitness fans, fanatics, lifelong living lean style minded individuals are paying attention. Or maybe not. I don't know. Why do you guys tune in? Are you health and fitness minded? Do you want to learn how to lose weight? Are you an MMA person? You know, are you a longevity trying to, you know, avoid the Grim Reaper? And it's all kind of the same, interrelated, bobbing and weaving, you know, trying to make forward progress, grinding. So on the Facebook page, let me know. I want to hear, you know, what's maybe actually we'll put up a poll saying, what do you want to hear more of, or what's your primary interest? And just give me one, because I know we're all interested in everything. You know, hopefully, you know, there's something interesting that we all can pick up, you know, from anything that we pay attention to. So I try and cover a few things: health, fitness, diet, you know, elite performance, sports, motivation, general lifestyle, chefery, we'll call it. So it's not quite cooking. Is that a real word? Chefery. Chefery. I'm a master chef-tician. So I'm going to start, you know, coming out with some recipes for you guys, because I know a lot of guys listening. You know, we saw the feedback. A lot of guys want to learn how to cook, so I got some great recipes. Maybe we'll do like a Valentine's Day for dudes. Like, trick your girl into thinking you know how to cook. Book. Maybe we'll do something like that, because that's I think I could teach you guys some tricks. I mean, we'll make some gourmet meals for your ladies, and it's going to be real easy. You know, so easy that my dumbass could do it. All right, so we're going to jump right into the Q&A. Here we go. Brandy Dolce, at Brandy Dolce, Q&A.
All right, Allison Victoria is looking for some healthy fat ideas besides coconut oil.
Allison, how are you? Healthy fat ideas besides coconut oil. All right, coconut oil, I'm glad to see that you are using it. Sounds like you're just maybe getting sick of it. Coconut oil, grapeseed oil, and peanut oil. Those are my three favorite oils for cooking. The flavor is just stupendous, amazing, delicious, and they're jam-packed with essential fats. Each one is a little bit different, and they fit the category. Remember, you know, everything with my philosophy or the Dolce diet is based on principles. The Earth Grow Nutrient Principle is broken down into the nutrient sources and essential fats being one of the categories. Coconuts, grapeseed oil, peanut oil, almonds, avocados, chia seeds, you know, all of these are great. Hemp, you know, hemp oil. I mean, there's so many. The list goes on and on. I mean, there's easily, you know, 20 that are just as good as the other, in my opinion. So those are some good ideas. You know, if it's just for the cooking oils, coconut, grapeseed, and peanut are great. They're high heat oils. You can cook, you know, you can do a stir fry. The Skinny Sumo stir fry from Living Lean Cookbook, in peanut oil, as you guys know, is absolutely amazing. But if you make the pit bull pancakes in coconut oil, holy shit. Pardon my language. I just cursed there because it's that freaking good. So that answers your question, hopefully, Allison.
Jordan Wilson wants to know how you feel about distance running.
I love it, distance running. I'd like to do a marathon. I was able to maintain a personal pace for, you know, almost 6 months of about 10 miles. I do 10 miles twice a week, and I do a few, you know, 3 and 5 mile recovery runs. That's a lot of running after a while. The miles certainly do start to add up. And I understand what a huge achievement a marathon run would be. I mean, it's one of the most difficult events on the planet. And I love running. Now, what is the goal for running, though? Are we running for sport? Are we running for health? Are we running for hobby? That has to go, you know, into the question, or that would need to go into my answer. Running can be very damaging. It can be very harmful to the body, especially if you don't run properly, if you're overweight. You know, if you kind of have some body fat shifting side to side, putting undue force on your skeletal frame, on your joints. You know, if you're running in the wrong shoes, like I said, if you have the wrong stride, the wrong gait, well, you can really tear your body down fast, especially if you're pounding the hard pavement, running on streets and concrete and things like that. Now, if you're an MMA guy looking to get in shape, you know, my guys do sprints, you know, short duration, high intensity. Like actually in Living Lean, I have a few different sprint routines that you can see in there, and I have some distance routines also. So I am an advocate of running, but you have to be careful with it. That's the thing. You got to really moderate your volume and the intensity when you run, and pay attention to your body and make sure from a strength and conditioning standpoint that you're training the entire body so there's no strength imbalances. You really got to pay attention to form, proper warm-up, proper cool-down, and then make sure there's no strength imbalances because that's how, you know, you could blow a knee, you could, you know, pull a hamstring, you could, you know, tweak a groin, shin splints, you know, Achilles issues, you know, plantar fasciitis, you know, foot problems. You know, you can get really hurt running also, but, you know, I'm not 50-50 on it, but there's great benefit and there's great downside, you know, if done improperly.
All right, David RC wants to know how to lose belly fat.
David, what's up? Well, really, it comes down to diet and lifestyle. You know, what are you eating? What are you consuming? That's the first part of it. And then, you know, you put training on top of that. So what's your current body fat percentage? That's a good step. So don't worry about belly fat until you're down into the, you know, 12% body fat range. As that number goes down, as you get towards single-digit body fat percentage, well, your belly fat will go away also. A lot of times people, you know, upwards of 12%, you know, into the high teens even, will talk about losing their gut. I want to lose my gut. Well, you got about, you know, 20 or 40 pounds of other fat sticking out on your body that needs to come off also. You, David, you know, not you per se, but the individual. So don't worry so much about belly fat until your body fat is down in the 12% range going on down. And this is for guys. For women, it'd be the high teens sliding down towards the mid-teens, roughly. But from there, if let's say now that you are, David, at 10% body fat, now we can start to play a little bit. We can start to wave our carbs up and down, you know, high carb, medium carb, low carb days. We can wave the intensity of our training. I would go more high intensity with longer duration recovery workouts at this phase if you're trying to peak, but I would only push this peak for about 3 weeks before you back off and maybe go through a muscle building phase, which is another good way to burn body fat. Because as your muscle mass increases, the percentage of non-functional mass will decrease. So now you're increasing the girth inside a shrinking t-shirt, blowing up the balloon, the muscle. So your body fat, your body will change dramatically instead of just simply trying to lose the fat, lose the belly. I hope that helps.
All right. Jonathan Flickinger wants to know, what are some foods that everyday people think are healthy but are not?
What's up, John? How you doing, man? John's one of my buddies. We talk quite a bit. So what are some foods that everyday people think are healthy but really sabotage your diet and health? Artificial sweeteners, sugar-free products, A lot of people think, oh, it's sugar-free. You know, I can have this. I can have more of this. But they forget that there's still the sugar flavor in there. And the sugar flavor comes from chemicals. It comes from some sort of creation. So now you're trading out the sugar for chemicals. And in my opinion, it's you're picking up your poison now. So it doesn't exactly make you healthier. It just changes the type of negative effect that you'll have. Also, I think bread products. A lot of people, they go to the supermarket and they see like brown loaves of bread. And it says wheat on there. It'll say all natural wheat bread. And they'll buy it and they'll say, oh, geez, this is good. Now, if they flip over the bag and they read the ingredients on the back, they'll see it's a paragraph of chemicals, of ingredients. Well, it's not natural whole wheat. You know, it's a whole bunch of chemicals that are making this product look like it's natural whole wheat. And I'm sure there is a percentage of whole wheat in there, but it's certainly a Franken product, as some people would say.
Joel Arkin wants to know what your thoughts are on frozen fruits and vegetables.
Joel, what's up, man? Frozen fruits and vegetables, I have them in my freezer as we speak. I use them every day. Following the Dolce diet principles, we know earth-grown nutrients in their natural state. That is where we start. That's the best way to be. If I can go to my backyard and I can pull a grape off a vine and pick an apple from a tree, that's what I want first and foremost. Now, if I live in a desert like Las Vegas, which I do, and these things don't grow in the direct proximity to me, I will get frozen. If there's certain fruits or vegetables that are not local, that come from different parts of the world, I'll get those frozen, but I'll make sure that they're flash frozen. And basically, flash freezing is when fruit typically is picked and flash frozen to a degree much – I don't know the exact degree. I'll have to pull that up. I forget. It's frozen to a very, very low temperature, which keeps more of the nutrition intact. So that, certainly makes frozen, very good. But really, it comes to what's available to you. What's available where you are is what you want to get. Next question.
Mark Allen Connor wants to know what the top three calorie-dense healthy foods are for someone looking to gain weight.
What's up, Mark? What are the three calorie-dense healthy foods? Broccoli is a great green vegetable. Quinoa or sweet potato, for a carbohydrate. Fish or lentils, again, quinoa could be an adequate protein source for a vegan or, the carnivores would certainly do more of a red meat. Red meat is associated with weight gain and muscle building and strength gaining. Animal proteins, most certainly. Those are, more than three, but that's kind of the gist. And there's not just three. I don't like to work in just those little topics or lists and things. I know it helps it to be easier to understand, but I try and talk in principles. So you want lean proteins, healthy quality proteins, but really it's the amino acids that we're after. The proteins break down into the amino acids, and that's what we want. Animal proteins are very popular because animal proteins contain the essential amino acids, where plant proteins typically do not. Quinoa does. That does contain the essential amino acids, but most plant products do not. So they have to be combined with other plant-based protein sources, which is called a complementary protein. So Mark, when you're developing your program, look at all these proteins and look at the amino acids that they break down into. That's your protein source. Now, carbohydrates, you want to focus on eating enough carbohydrates to sustain your energy. So your body can continue to push hard, to train hard, because you're talking about gaining weight. I assume your strength training, resistance training to gain weight. So we need to make sure that we have enough usable energy to train maximally so we can initiate the growth process through our central nervous system, through our body's adaptation system. So the carbohydrates have to be in there, but not too much that you're going to spill over and it's going to get stored as body fat. We don't want to gain non-functional weight. It makes absolutely no sense. We want to gain functional. You become stronger when you gain functional weight. a stronger, you know, per pound of mass, you become stronger if you train this way, gain functional weight. And then for fat sources, we need the essential fats. So I'm breaking your three, you know, your list of three down into not just three types of foods, but three overall principles, you know, three groupings of foods. And the fats, you want the essential fats. Now, if you're eating the animal proteins, you're getting essential fats, especially if you're eating something like salmon. If you're going towards the fish sources, you're getting essential fats. Not complete. You know, you certainly need other sources that you get from plants. Things like seeds, you know, things like nuts, very important for your essential fats. So chia seeds, I have in my refrigerator. I take them everywhere I go all around the world. I have different oils, coconut, grapeseed, like I had said earlier, to allicin, peanut oil, avocado, always, you know, in abundance. I mean, those are the foods. Those are the nutrient-dense foods that you should be after, Mark, to gain weight. But think in form of category. Don't think, you know, I'm just going to eat this chicken breast every day. Kind of like the bodybuilders. And I love the bodybuilding crew because they're so freaking disciplined. But they eat the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I believe that builds nutrient deficiencies. Though they'll be hitting their protein, their carb, their fat ratio, though they will be hitting those ratios, they'll become nutrient deficient in certain areas or they'll have problems because they're only getting a certain type of nutrition instead of varying the sources. That's why I speak in terms of principles. So a chicken breast, half a baked potato, and a cup of broccoli. I mean, that's a very traditional bodybuilding meal. And then as they get closer to the competition, it'll turn to like a tilapia and spinach, and they're just freaking suffering, and they'll squeeze some lemon on there and you know, play with their salt up or down. And that's really about it. They suffer through that whole process. That's not the right way. It's not the healthiest way. It's not the most sustainable way because you fall off, you know, really quick. So for your answer of foods and weight gain, think in terms of principles. Next question.
Nick Galvin wants to know how you feel about hot sauce, jalapenos, or chipotle chilies.
What's up, Nick? Hot sauce, jalapenos, or chipotle? Yeah. You know, I'm not a fan preference-wise because that shit's hot. I like, you know, to be able to get in and eat my meal and not get my mouth burnt. But, you know, I'm a lightweight when it comes to that. You know, I don't typically go over a medium spice on any dish, and sometimes that's even a little too hot for my preference. But there's other people that absolutely freaking love it, and it blows my mind. They love the hot peppers. The hotter, the better. They put them on everything. Mike Pyle, you guys know Mike Quicksand Pyle. UFC, you know, superstar, badass dude, and food aficionado. And I've seen him put more pepper, more spice on his food than maybe any other man, other than Dwayne Ludwig. He's another one, UFC monster, owner of the fastest knockout in UFC history is Dwayne Ludwig. And that guy eats the hottest peppers he can find fight week while he's cutting weight. He'll walk around, and that'll be a snack. He'll snack on these freaking monster peppers and smile during the process, and I can't even smell those things without tearing up. It's freaking amazing. So why I don't talk about peppers, you know, a lot of people, you know, most people don't prefer them in the recipes, so the recipes we have aren't heavy on peppers. You can add any natural pepper that you want. I love peppers, you know, and I use a lot of red peppers, red and green peppers, kind of the more traditional sweet peppers, Italian peppers, into our recipes because of the great nutrient profile, the digestive enhancement that peppers can bring, the antioxidant profile that peppers bring. Peppers are amazing. It's just the spicy ones that get me. And I don't talk about them also because most of the spice that you see in the stores, most of the bottled stuff, most of the sauces, most of the toppings, well, they're artificial, and we stay away from that stuff. You know, if grab the Tabasco or, you know, whatever the Tabasco is, like the brand name of that industry, the Q-tip of the cotton swab industry. So, but grab the bottle of hot sauce and read the ingredients. Is it just, you know, jalapenos or habaneros? Is it just that specific type of pepper, or is it a bunch of chemicals also in there? If it's just the pepper, then man, load up. But if there's a lot of chemicals, now, you know, what's the point? Why are we going to poison ourselves just for a little fleeting sense of flavor?
All right. Jeffrey Mead said he's listening to episode 7 right now, and he said, you're truly a moving force in my life. Thank you.
Hey, Jeffrey. I appreciate it, man. We're trying to get a little bit better at this, you know, trying to have fun, but bring helpful information in an easy to apply manner. I think that's the most important. And that's because of my coach, my coaching background. You know, whether it's a world-class athlete or it's a mother just coming back, you know, after, you know, 2 years after having the baby, trying to, you know, get her life in order. You know, I coach that type every day, those same people every day. That's where I've made my career. And I find that the easiest way is the most efficient way for the individual. And that's why, you know, I'm trying to have a show like this, trying to talk like this or share information like this and not get into the nuts and bolts, which I find so boring. You know, you don't want to listen to me, you know, if you want to hear the DNA structure, you know, of a tomato. If you know, go on Google. There's other better resources when it comes to that stuff. I want to tell you guys immediately what you can do to kind of change your life. Not kind of change your life. What you can immediately do to change your life, which is why we do it this way. And it sounds like it's helping you, Jeff. You know, I want to add the motivation, but I also want to give you the tools to get to where you want to go. And the motivation has to come from you, and I'm going to try and inspire you through stories of people like you or my own stories or experiences, trying to inspire you to motivate yourself, you know, because that has to be internal. And then you become accountable, like we speak about on all the shows. Accountability was the theme of episode 7, and it sounds like it really caught in. You be accountable, you take responsibility for your life, for your goals, for your progress. You can do anything. You can certainly do anything, and you can always get better. You know, you're always climbing, you're always grinding, and that's the fun, that's the beauty of it. So it sounds like you're doing it, Jeff. You know, I'm really happy and humbled to be a part of it for you, bro.
Carl Hollis wants to know, anything for thyroid problems?
Carl, yeah, anything is go directly to your doctor. And I've said this, I say this constantly, every one of us, I have a phenomenal relationship with my doctor. I see my doctor constantly, you know, I want to stay on top of my health. I should see my doctor as often as I see my mechanic, as often as I check, you know, the odometer in my car or the oil in my car. I should be checking my own health. That is, you know, a very common sense but hopefully obvious observation of mine. And that's what I certainly suggest. So you're talking about, you know, anything for thyroid problems. If you have thyroid problems, are you under a doctor's care? You know, go to your doctor, tell your doctor, and come up with a program, protocol for your doctor, because you don't want to mess around with thyroid issues. There's certainly lifestyle modification that can help people with thyroid issues or any issue. I mean, modifying your life to be healthy is, I think, the most important thing to becoming healthy. You know, in conjunction with your doctor's work and your doctor's orders, your doctor's prognosis, your doctor's protocol, and always ask your doctor, what are my options? A lot of people don't do this. They don't ask, what are my options? And there are options. Doc, you know, I think I have a thyroid issue. What are my options? And the doctor's going to say, you know, maybe, you know, we're going to run this test, or, you know, tell me more information, or who knows what the doctor's going to say. But that's where you go from there. And then, you know, you ask, you know, now what are my options? And it becomes the next tier. Okay, so we know you have a thyroid issue. You can go on pills. You can have a surgery. You know, you can sleep more often, eat differently. You know, you can do a whole bunch of different things. And with your doctor, you develop a program to implement. Lifestyle is always going to be a part of medical health, of getting healthy. You know, lifestyle is the hinge, because that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what we do. So with a thyroid issue, go to your doctor. See what's up, and then from there, we start to build the lifestyle issue, the health issue.
All right, we have two water-related questions here. The first is from Brady McLean, who wants to know how much water to drink in a day, and does it keep you from holding water? And then we have Mark Bell, who has a water retention problem. He also says he loves salty foods.
Okay, so water. You guys know that I am a huge fan of hydration. I call it super hydration. I drink over 2 gallons a day on the average day, close to 3 gallons on a day that I'm training really hard. I'm 195 pounds, you know, so I'm a good-sized American man, and I'm easily drinking over 2 gallons a day. My wife drinks 120, or who's 125 pounds, drinks a gallon a day to keep things in perspective. And I know a lot of guys my size that don't even drink a gallon a day, and I couldn't imagine how they would feel. Because when I drink a gallon, if I'm super, you know, things happen, which rarely happens. But if I drink a gallon, I do feel it. I feel lethargic. know, I can feel the dehydration setting in. I live in a desert. I live in Las Vegas, and I take this into consideration. I take my climate. I take my environment. I take my external environment into consideration when I come up with my water intake. I take my energy expenditure. I take my anxiety level. I take my emotional state. I take my digestive efficiency. I take all that into consideration when I determine if I should be drinking or not. And I don't think a lot of people do. A lot of people just simply sit back and they have a few glasses of water a day, and they have a few glasses of juice and a few glasses of soda and a few glasses of coffee. And they think, wow, I've been drinking all day, so you know I must be pretty healthy. But you're not drinking water. You're not drinking purified, real water. You're not drinking, you know, the liquid that has sustained all of life on the planet since the dawn of time. You're drinking a lot of chemical creations instead of water. I mean, think about it. Water has sustained all of life on the planet since the dawn of time. Now you're telling me that I can only drink a couple glasses a day and be fine? No, that's bullshit. Try and not drink water for a few days and see what happens. Don't. I'm not telling you to not drink water, but consider, you know, rhetorically, consider thinking about not drinking water for a few days. We know from survivalists, from outdoorsmen, you know, we know from health and science and medicine, you don't drink water for a few days, well, you die. Your body stops running and you die. Now, you can go days and weeks without food. So water is more important in my mind to food. The first thing I always tell people is water. How do I lose weight? Drink more water. You know, how do I gain muscle? Drink more water. How do I perform better? Drink more water. It's all about drink more water. Drink more water. You know, that's you know a big thing. And if you're drinking water enough properly, you're not in a dehydrated state. Your body's not stressed out. You have everything you need for your cells, your systems to work properly. Then you're not going to hold on to additional water weight. Your body's not going to be storing this weight. If you're eating properly, now, one of you guys, Mark, you said that you eat salty food. Well, you got to drop the salty food, man. Don't talk about water, you know, that's not the issue. If you're eating salty food, drop the salt. Find the natural flavor in food, which I think is very important, which is why I came up with the recipes that I have. They're very, very natural. There's little touches of maybe a sea salt here or there, and that's usually more for the electrolyte component and not so much for the flavor. The flavor's not bad, but it's a lot. We're after the electrolytes also when we have salt, but not in excess, like Mark here is talking about. So that's the water rant. I mean, we got to drink more. And here's a good tip. I say, when you wake up, you use the restroom. You know, it should be some sort of expect it to be, you know, a yellow or a straw color, as they say. It should be kind of a dark yellow. Immediately thereafter, I start drinking water. I have a 16-ounce bottle. Boom. You know, I go downstairs, a 16-ounce bottle. I start to get my breakfast bowl going. I have another 16-ounce bottle. That's a quarter of a gallon in the first 20 minutes that I'm awake. I'll start to eat, maybe start sipping on a coffee, black coffee, a little coconut oil mixed in, use the restroom again, and it's pretty much all clear, or almost all clear. And from that point on, it should be all clear. If it's not all clear, well, you should be drinking more water, in my opinion. That's what I do. I feel absolutely amazing. That's what my athletes do. They compete and look absolutely amazing. So, you know, I think we all should be drinking more water.
All right, Chris Lim wants to know how you balance out dealing with a lot of food intolerance and eating healthy at a reasonable price.
All right, Chris, so you're saying how do you balance out dealing with food intolerance, eating healthy, and affordable? Three different parts here. So you have a food intolerance. Well, what is it? Is it a medical condition? Get that diagnosed immediately. Talk to a doctor, see what's going on. If it's a preference issue, simply I don't like vegetables, well, then that's a problem. Then it's a matter of shut up and eat your vegetables. You'd be surprised. And I'm not saying this is you, Chris. I'm going to say, you know, you, there's something else going on. You'd be surprised at how many times I get messages or people ask me to my face, I want to lose weight, but I don't eat vegetables, but I won't eat vegetables, but I don't like vegetables. How do I lose weight? If I wanted to lose weight or if I follow the Dolce diet, do I have to eat vegetables? Because I can't eat vegetables. Yeah, I get these freaking questions. I should start retweeting these questions. I usually retweet the success stories and promote the success stories. I should retweet some. No, because I've done this before, and then you guys, you know, some of you guys, will bash the person. It becomes like a mob war. Like, oh, you know, effing idiot, how dare you not eat vegetables? Did you know? Which is awesome because I feel the same way. So they get clobbered. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe once a week. I'll have, you know, the tweet of the week or something, you know, worst tweet of the week. And I'll put it out there. I'm sorry. What was the question? So, all right, Chris Lamb, intolerance, food intolerance. If it's a preference, well, man, you know, eat your damn vegetables. If there's something else, then we work around it. But like I said earlier, think in form of principles. You know, if you have a nut allergy, well, what about seeds? What about, you know, oils? You know, what about avocados? What about grains? You know, what about legumes? You know. And we kind of work around and we see what you're not allergic to, and then we just cover all the bases. So intolerances are actually rather easy to work around, to live within. And intolerant food intolerances typically open up a whole new menu. People with food intolerances typically eat so much better than the rest of the world because now they're forced outside of the general envelope, and they find, you know, better nutrients, cleaner, usually local. So food intolerance is not an issue. Eating healthy, well, you should always be eating healthy. I don't know what to say to that. It should always be – every choice should be a healthy choice. So I don't know why that would be a problem. And at a reasonable price, well, what is your price? If I only had $5 a day, I would not buy a Happy Meal. I would go to the supermarket. I would probably grab a $2 jug of oats, which you can get 100% whole grain oats probably for $2, and that'll last you at least a week. Now you have a quality, inexpensive, earth-grown nutrient readily available for you. Add water, you're good to go. I'd look for some sort of seed, maybe, chia seeds, you know, would be good. I'd look for some sort of fruits and greens, the broccoli, the kale, the asparagus, the spinach. Maybe it's just a handful of each. You know, if I truly only had $5, you better believe I'd still be eating amazing, healthy food. My recipes would look sick. You know, I wouldn't be wasting it. And not you are. I wouldn't complain, though. You know, and I'd work my ass off to have more money so I can eat better, so I could do more things. This is another part of it. And I know guys are in college. I know a lot of you guys, you know, you're in college, you're doing this, you're doing that. But there's ways. Make it a priority. You know, clip coupons. Do the deal. You know, if you're serious about success, you're going to do the deal. You're going to get it done. You're going to find ways. You know, deliver pizzas. You know, throw newspapers. Whatever the hell it is. You're going to get it done. And it's about constant improvement. So just do a little bit better today, Chris, than you did yesterday. Eat a little bit healthier. Be a little bit, you know, more reasonable with your budget. And truly, find out what the intolerance is. I'd be curious to hear about that.
All right, Dale Andrew Richard Aldridge wants to know, were all of the Team Sonnen athletes on Tough put on the Dolce diet in order to avoid any problems with them missing weight like Gabe Rudiger?
Ooh. Hey, Dale, what's up, man? So you're watching The Ultimate Fighter 17 on FX TV, Team Sonnen versus Team Jones, and I am one of Chael Sonnen's assistant coaches on this season. I'm one of Chael's coaches in real life for his fight career, and proud to be a part of The Ultimate Fighter 17. It's my third time being on the show. I was on Season 7 as a cast member, Team Rampage versus Team Forrest, and then I came back in Season 10, The Heavyweights, as an assistant coach for Team Rampage, who I was a coach of for his professional career during that time. Now I'm brought back for a third time with Team Sonnen, and it's a pleasure to be a part of it. Super stoked about it, and I'm, you know, awesome to be involved with the real Team Sonnen, which is Coach Clayton Hires. It is Coach Jamie Huey. It is Coach Scott McQuarrie. It is Coach Vinny Magalhaes. And that's the team. I mean, this is really the team that helps Chael get ready. So to have those guys, my boys, you know, my brothers, on set with us, I think gave us a huge advantage over Team Jones, because this is what we do. We've been the battles, you know, multiple times together at a very high emotional level. Where John and his staff, his team, I mean, great guys, great coaches, but they didn't have that, the experience, the resume together, like Team Sonnen, the dark side, Team Dark Side, like we did. So the guys on the team, now the athletes have been announced. We have Uriah Hall. We have Luke Barnett. We have Jimmy Crash. Jimmy, sorry, I forgot your name, brother. At Jimmy Crash, BJJ at Twitter. Kevin Casey's tough, tough dude. Who else we got? We got Tor, at Tor the Hammer, at Thor the Hammer on Twitter. Can't say Thor's last name. Kelvin Gastelium. If I say your name, a little, you know, fire plug out of Arizona. So we got a good team. And the guys on the team did they follow the Dolce diet? And that's your question. I was giving you a little bit of background. You know, I think they followed the Dolce diet as much as they followed what Coach Clayton was doing on stand-up or what Coach Vinny was doing on BJJ. You know, I think, you know, with what I bring to the table, I was just able to help add, you know, Coach Jamie would get on the pads and he'd clean up the jab a little bit and he'd get the footwork going a little bit better. I think I was able to do the same. I was able to step in and help the guys with their strength, conditioning, peaking, nutrition, lifestyle approach. I think I was able to help these guys make the right decisions or make better decisions than maybe they had to clean up their game just a little bit. So I was their coach, and then every one of the athletes I worked with, you know, we made sure we put them on the scale, you know, every morning to make sure their weight was on point. We talked to them about how their day is. What are you going to eat today? And, you know, we dial them in. All right, you know, you are fighting tomorrow, or you just fought, or, you know, you could be fighting, or you group, you know, you guys might be fighting in 8 days. What's your weight? You know, let's talk about this. And here's our objectives. So we certainly had a structure set up, you know. But then it's cool because some of the guys on the show used the Dolce diet products. It feels like a plug, but it was really a cool moment. Some of the guys on the show came up to me and thanked me because they used 3 weeks of Shredded to get ready for the first fights, for the weigh-ins, to get in shape, to get ready to be on point. Dylan Andrews, who's on Team Jones, he's one of the guys that did that, and he's a stud and great guy, exciting fighter. You'll see all about that later. So Dylan was one of the guys. Fraser Opie, who got to the 32-man bracket, he's over from the UK. He lost like 40 some odd pounds, actually, and it was in the full 3 weeks. We blogged about it and tweeted about it and whatnot. He lost a tremendous amount of weight. So those are some of the guys also that were on the show. Quite a few of the guys, you know, knew me, and you know, guys like Jake Hune, who was a training partner of Chris Lieben out in Hawaii. He was in the 32-man bracket. I consider him a friend. You know, we cornered Chris when Chris fought Vanderlei Silva. I was part of Chris's team for that knockout of Vanderlei Silva. No disrespect, Vanderlei, but it was a big moment for Chris's career and for myself to be friends with Chris and to be a coach and part of that moment. But Jake was part of the team. So, you know, I knew Jake a little bit. And just a lot of the guys, probably half the guys I had some sort of relationship with coming onto the show, it seems. You know, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I had a little bit with the MMA dudes. And I'm going to be working with a lot of the guys. You know, all the guys are certainly I'm open to. But, you know, I see them as, you know, students now.
All right, Stephanie Murray Folks says, you talk about sleep to help lose weight. What happens when you have a 3-year-old and a 7-month-old who don't let you get more than 6 hours of sleep a night, plus waking up for feedings in that time frame?
Stephanie, hey, now you got it tough. I understand. A full-time mom is the hardest job in the world. 24/7, you have to take care of so many things before you take care of yourself. And you're asking, you sound exhausted. I can hear it in your voice. You don't know where you can find your sleep, where you can, you know, get it, because you're taking care of your child. And what I want to suggest to you is focus in blocks. Set up your day. And this is what I find to be helpful. You know, I'm not waking up in the middle of the night to feed a child, but my life is very busy. You know, I'm constantly, you know, living out of a suitcase and traveling all over the world and trying to, you know, be a part of my own family life and be a human, you know, outside of all the other commitments. So I understand. And for me to be efficient and to make sure I have the time for everybody, but also myself, is to live in a series of blocks. Now, the block could be, you know, you have to take out the dog, you have to clean the yard, you have to get the baby's bottle together, you have to, you know, do, you know, what have you. And then your next block might be you have, you know, household chores. I'm not saying you're a stay-at-home, but it sounds like you very well may be. Or, you know, being at work and, like, you know, going to the post office and, you know, food shopping. That's another block of time. And you go on throughout the day. Now, as these blocks stack up, you can become more efficient. If you only focus on a few tasks in a predetermined amount of time, you can start to free up more time for yourself. And there's different systems of doing it. I call it the block system. It's very easy for me to do. I like to write. I'm a pen and paper type person. So I'll draw it on a piece of paper, and I'll get a good flow. And maybe that'll make its way to my technology. A lot of meetings and flight itineraries get forwarded to me. I have a pretty good organization system for that. That's, you know, goes to all of my devices, so I have all the documentation I need. But that block flow. But for you, Stephanie, you got to remember, and this is what I had to remember, is that in order for you to take care of somebody else, in order for you to take care of everybody else, you have to take care of yourself first. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not doing your best to take care of everybody else. You're not capable of. You're too tired. Maybe you're sick. You know, you don't have the energy. You don't have the patience. You don't have the love, the capacity. You're emotionally so burnt out, so spent emotionally, physically, you know, because your body's just grinding all day. And I'm you know, kind of creating a little bit of a stereotype here. But it might be close to your situation. And it'll probably cross over in a lot of other people's situations. Sleep is very important. I mean, try and find that sleep when you can, where you can, even if it's for 5 minutes. And the sleep can be almost like a meditation. If you can take 5 minutes, shut your eyes, breathe deeply, and just relax. Breathe out your day, you know, breathe in the kind of tranquility and calm and pleasure and love and all the good things. Those little 5 minute sessions throughout the day are excellent. Now, if you're in an office, just shut your door. Just shut your door and take 5 minutes. You can put an iPad, you know, headphones in and listen to a, you know, something calm, or, you know, you can do whatever. But just calm down. Take 5 minutes. Now, if that 5 minutes can be 15 or 45, well, even better. Then you can get a little crazy with it. You might even be able to take a little nap during the day. Now, with a child, my sister, Barbara, she's a mother of two. She just had her second child. And what she did, now, she followed the Dolce diet eating plan all the way through. Now, in 9 months of pregnancy, she only gained 23 pounds, which is pretty darn impressive. Chayton was about 7 pounds, you know, normal size baby. And within 2 weeks, she was back down into a size zero jean. She didn't quite have, you know, her perfect body back yet, but it was pretty darn dramatic what she did following the lifestyle principles, the eating plan, the training suggestions, and just it's the lifestyle approach. It's the structured, kind of organized, efficient, common sense way of living and making choices that helped. Now, when Barbara had Chayton, her son, she was trying to get on schedule. She's very task-oriented, very, you know, busy, mother of two. She's, you know, a working mother, you know, she, you know, a homemaker. She's doing all these things. And Chayton wasn't sleeping. You know, he was waking up a lot in the middle of the night. She spoke with her doctor. Her doctor suggested she get Chayton on her schedule. Wake him up when you wake up. Don't let him sleep, you know, constantly throughout the day. Keep him awake and have set nap times. Build these bridges, or blocks, I could say, build these blocks of time for Chayton to sleep also. And when he sleeps is when you schedule your time to sleep. Now, a lot of times mothers use that time, the sleep time, to get things done. But also, if sleep is an issue, we want to make sure that you're getting your proper sleep. So what happened, within a few days, Chayton and my sister, they were on the same exact schedule. Give or take, you know, an hour or two here or there, it totally, and I saw it dramatically change there. All of a sudden, she was rested and happy, and her mood changed, and you know, and she was ready to go. And the baby was happy and fed and had all the attention and comfort he needed. It makes perfect sense. So when the doctor said that, slap in the head. Why would you let your baby dictate the time it wants to be awake or sleep? If I could dictate, if I could just, you know, eat and sleep all day without any, you know, jurisdiction, without anybody, you know, kind of the world telling me I got to do certain things, well, I would. Why wouldn't a baby? So get the baby on your schedule and put yourself first. I know it's, you know, I kind of go sideways and I go on these little rants sometimes, but I think it's important. Take care of yourself so you can take care of everybody else.
All right. Greg Baca says, I just got your Living Lean book on iTunes. Where can I get a physical copy? Which is awesome. He said, I recently lost 90 pounds, but still have a way to go. What foods do you think are essential to help aid in my journey?
Greg, what's up? All right. So you got Living Lean on the iTunes. Where can you get a physical copy? You can get it pretty much anywhere books are sold. Go to thedolcediet.com. We got a few dozen international distributors, you know, links to their sites down there, pretty much anywhere ever. Amazon's always a great way to go. And say you recently lost 90 pounds, which is fucking awesome. 90 pounds is absolutely amazing. 10 pounds is freaking awesome. 20 pounds is a true lifestyle change. 90 pounds, this is just the beginning, it sounds like. But still, you have a way to go. Yep. What foods do I think are essential to aid in your journey? Earth Grow Nutrients. Most important thing, you know, I lost 110 pounds. Some do know that, some don't. I know I weighed 280 pounds, 280 all the way down to 170, and now I'm 195 pounds, roughly 7%, 8% body fat at the moment. that's a dramatic lifestyle, body shape change, you know, dramatic change. So I know what you're talking about, Greg, and the foods that you are essential are the foods that I use, that I believe in, and it's the Earth Grow nutrients in great abundance. I want to get a lot of different nutrients into my body to help fuel and rebuild and repair my body, but also to help with my body's ability to change, you know, for my skin to shrink back to the proper size, for my muscles, you know, my strength levels to go up, for my leverage points to change, for my joints and my ligaments to repair from all that time carrying that heavy weight, you know, the integrity of my organs. I want all that to increase, and I believe in following a diet of earth-grown nutrients in great moderation. You know, I want to be eating everything that's good, not just a few things. I'm a big advocate of moderation. What's local is always best. What's local, what's fresh, what's raw is always where we want to start. Our food preparation methods should be, you know, minimal. You know, very, very simple. The natural flavor of food should play with each other, and that should build the flavor. No sauces and seasonings and things like that. So these are the types of meals that you should be eating. Lots of fruits and vegetables, you know, dark leafy greens and big, bright, you know, shades of the rainbow you should be eating in great abundance also, and really get, you know, get those antioxidants up, you know, get those vitamins and minerals up, which is very important. Your essential fats, I believe, is essential, hence the term, right? And make sure you're getting great quality essential fats so your body can continue to repair and change and grow and evolve and develop. So, I mean, that's awesome, Greg. You know, great job, 90 pounds. What is your goal? Hit me back on the Facebook page and let me know what your total goal is. You know, where'd you start? What weight did you start at? Where are you now? And where are you going ultimately? If you want to post some pictures, man, that'd be cool. We got such a great community on our Facebook page or on mydolcediet.com, which is a community. Everybody's got their own profile, and there's recipe groups, and there's all sorts of great stuff going on over there, and lots of support. I'm going to get back on there more lately. I haven't been on there because I've been traveling so much, but I'm going to get back on a lot this week and be a part of the motivation. So for Greg, I'd love to hear more, man, and great job. Congratulations. Freaking awesome. All right. Q&A's done. Moving on. Now, we spoke earlier about the Harvard study coming out talking about eggs. Now, in this study, I'm going to paraphrase, but this was posted at the New York Times. Co-author of the study, Dr. Frank B. Hugh, a professor of nutrition and epidemiology at Harvard, said that eating two or three or more eggs a day might be harmful in theory, although there is no data on that. Why is that important? Well, because Harvard Dr. Frank B. Hugh is saying, or Harvard professor, excuse me, Dr. and professor Frank Hugh, I mean, this is a real dude at Harvard, is saying eating two or three or more eggs might be harmful in theory, although there's no data on that. He also says, but within the modest range of one a day, which applies to most people, there is no dose response relationship with higher consumption of eggs. So this whole story, this whole study is about eggs. They are now saying, Dr. Frank Hugh, a professor at Harvard, is coming up and saying, we can actually eat eggs again. Duh, I mean, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful, but come on, are you kidding me? This is news breaking. This is New York Times article. We can eat an egg a day. In the study, the co-author of the study says, we can eat two or three or more eggs a day, and it might be harmful in theory, although no data, there's no data on that. So he said it might be, but it might not be. We got no data. We don't have any data to say that, but it might exist. Oh, well, sure, it might be. Yeah, pink elephants, might fall from the sky in theory. Pink elephants, they might fall from the sky. I mean, I got no reason to say that they would or believe that they would. So why I'm making such a stern point here is because how much have we heard that eggs are bad, eggs are bad, eggs are bad, they're going to heart attack and heart disease and kill you, and the yolk, and get away from the yolk. Oh, no, you know, instead of that, here, buy these products, buy this powder, buy this pill, buy this potion. This chemically created stuff is good for you. There's no news saying I can't have chemically created stuff. There's news saying I can't have earth-grown nutrients. How many decades have we been hearing? We cannot eat eggs. Eggs will give you a heart attack. Eggs will kill you. While we're getting pumped full of high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated oils, genetically modified nutrients, all packed into our food supply. Oh, that's fine. We don't even have to put a label saying that's even in there. Don't worry. You're okay. Now, eggs, are you freaking crazy? You're going to eat an egg that came out of a chicken in a field? You're going to die. Can you believe this? This absolutely blows my mind. I mean, it's awesome that the Harvard study came out, taking that first step forward, that saying within the modest range of one a day, which applies to most people, there is no dose-response relationship with a higher than one a day egg consumption. Interesting, right? So that being said, guys, the moral of the story, earth-grown nutrients in great abundance, eaten in moderation every 2 to 4 hours, based on what you just did, what you're about to do, while staying accountable to your goals, that's the way to do it. All this hoo-ha that's out there, you know, all this misinformation, all this, and I'm not saying this study actually is, you know, in my direction of belief. They're skewing the right way, but there's so much misinformation about there. You know, there's so much pollution in the food supply. There's so much pollution just in the environment, you know, pollution of content that's available. Stick to the principles, you know, make informed decisions, you know, eat food, eat real food, drink real water, breathe real air, just like our ancestors did, or to start the species. You know, not your great grandpappy. I mean, him too. I'm talking thousands and billions of years. You know, the same nutrients that have sustained the species and other species since the dawn of time. Why would we stray from that? So to hear that, you know, the Harvard University is saying that we can actually have one of those, you know, I think this is it's a good day, good step forward in a common sense of health and fitness. Yeah. All right. So now, moving, I spoke last time on Monday about all the countries that listen to this freaking podcast, and it blew my mind. Now, I knew we had an international audience based upon our book sales. We've sold books in over 120 countries on the planet, which was mind-blowing. I was shocked that it was more than four. The four being our most frequent, our largest, you know, largest followers. I don't know what the word would be. More people know about us, it seems, or pay attention in the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia. There's also countries, I mean, there's lists. I got lists and lists. We didn't count these. Can we count these? What? Can you go through and count these? Well, I got to look at these. Sorry. We'll get back to you with the count. Huge list of countries that have listened to the podcast. We're up at episode 8 so far. Croatia, Morocco, Kuwait, Belarus, Sweden, Germany, New Zealand, Poland, Indonesia, United Arab Emirates, Philippines, Korea, Republic of Korea, Malaysia, Colombia, you know, Slovenia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, South Africa, Guatemala, Israel, Saudi, I mean, countries, I could just list. I'm not even close to, you know, being a third of the way through. There's also countries, and I said last time, there's countries or provinces or places, there's places on the map I haven't even heard of. Places like Guernsey. Has anybody heard of Guernsey? I'm going to tell you about Guernsey. We got friends down in Guernsey. What's up, everybody? Guernsey, officially known as the Bailiwick of Guernsey, is a British crown dependency in the English Channel off the coast of Normandy. I'm reading this off of Google. It's a Google fact. Population of 65,000. So Guernsey, officially the Bailiwick of Guernsey, population of 65,573 people in 2007, works off the currency of the Guernsey pound. The government is a consensus democracy. It's a monarchy. The official language, the French language, and the English language, Guernsey. What's up, everybody? Also, Mauritius. Mauritius, officially the Republic of Mauritius, is an island nation in the Indian Ocean, about 2,000 kilometers off the southeast coast of the African continent. So Mauritius, you're in the Indian Ocean. I looked at my globe. I saw exactly where you were. Nice to see you. We have your currency is the Mauritian rupee. It's fun. I wish the U.S. dollar was called a rupee. It'd just be funner to say dollar, a rupee. The president is Rajkiswar Parang. I hope I said that right. Apologize if I did. I probably didn't. It's almost all consonants. The government is a parliamentary republic. Population 1,286,051 people as of 2011. The official language is the English language. All right, what else we got? The Isle of Man. The Isle of Man. How freaking awesome is that? Do I have information on the Isle? I do have. The Isle of Man, otherwise known simply as Man, with two N's, is a self-governing British Crown dependency located in the Irish Sea between the islands of Great Britain and Ireland within the British Isles. So up there near the UK, the Isle of Man, population 83,327 since in 2011. The government is a parliamentary system, a constitutional monarchy. The official language, the English language, the Manx language. The Manx, is that like people from, what is a Manx? I'm going to do more research. The currencies, the United Kingdom pound and the Manx pound. The national anthem is God Save the Queen. Interesting, Isle of Man.
Gaelic.
What's Gaelic?
Manx Gaelic.
Manx is a Gaelic term. Gaelic is a language. Gaelic is a language.
Yes.
So there we go. And their flag is freaking sweet. The Isle of Man, it's a big red, black, red background. There we go. With three legs stuck together at the hip. Like a throwing star. It's crazy. You know, the United States, we got the stars and the stripes. And, you know, other countries just have colors, you know, typically. Not other kind. There are differences. I'm becoming more educated, geographically educated, through the Mike Dolce show, learning more. And the Isle of Man, I think right now you're my top favorite list of flags. Check it out, everybody. All right, guys. So what else do we got going on? I think that's it. That is the show, the Mike Dolce show, episode 8. Check us back Monday. We're going to be talking about the UFC that happens this weekend. All right, guys. That's it. The Mike Dolce Show, episode number 8. Remember, don't count calories, make calories count. Boom!
The Mike Dolce Show.
Cause you can't, and you don't stop. Cause you can't, and you don't stop.